So tonight I'm going to talk about the idea of surrender. And I'm going to begin with a poem by the great mystic Hafez. Hafez's poems are always wonderful. And Hafez says, "What is the difference between your experience of existence and that of a saint? The saint knows that the spiritual path is a sublime chess game with God, and that the beloved has just made a fantastic move, that the saint is now continually tripping over joy and bursting out in laughter, saying, 'I surrender.' Whereas, my dear, I'm afraid you think you have a thousand serious moves." I think it's very human that, how to say it, we have a lot of trouble distinguishing what we control and what we don't, and we spend a lot of time and effort directed toward things we don't control at all, often overlooking the things that we do control. Now, of course, I don't control anyone outside of me. I don't control external events. And yet, say if someone insults me, one common response is I might go into drama, either an internal drama about, how dare they say that to me, that sort of thing, or I may even involve other people, they didn't have a right, what do you think, that sort of thing. And of course, with drama, what's going on is I'm investing an incredible amount of emotional energy and attention into something I can't control. And it's interesting, I think people, it's a way of giving our power away. And, people sometimes are wondering why they feel drained or powerless. And I don't know that we're always aware of all the ways that we give our power away. Worry is another very popular way to relate to things that are beyond our control. And again, worry, people can spend hours and hours in worry, investing all kinds of emotional energy into that. And again, all this emotional energy invested into what we cannot control. And so the case of an insult is particularly interesting. And of course, someone can give us a verbal insult. Sometimes people can insult us by the way they behave, things that they do or don't do, we might find insulting. Even external events, I think the whole COVID shutdown has landed as many people for many people as a kind of insult, And of course, nobody's intending that. The public health officials are, doing the best they can, but it land the conditions land for people as if it's a kind of insult. And of course, what's happening with an insult is something only really lands for me as an insult if part of me believes it. If there's a place in me that already believes the nature of that insult. If the insult finds no hook in me, then it's easy for me to shrug off. All right, well, it might be what that person thinks, but it doesn't resonate with me at all. It's only when it hooks something in me that it really lands deeply. And this is precisely why Buddhism has this teaching, and it's not always the teaching we want to hear, but the teaching that anyone who insults me or offends me is my teacher in a way, because they're showing me where I'm hooked. We often vastly overestimate the kind of control or influence we can have in the lives of others. We can have a little bit of influence on the people close to us, in conversations with them, but especially when someone has made up their mind, it's often hard to influence them. And certainly if it's someone that we're not close to, who's just, you know, say of a completely different political belief or something like that, you know, no amount of ranting on my part is really likely to change how they feel, you know. But we vastly overestimate, you know, how much, you know, if I rant enough or that sort of thing, then maybe I can actually change something. In fact, I have no control over the external world. I have no control over what other people say. I don't even have control, you know, my words come out of my mouth and then the interpretation that people attach to my words. I have no control over that even. What I do have profound control over is how I respond to the world and how I interpret the world, the kinds of boundaries that I hold with respect to the world. All of that I do control. You know, or at least that, you know, I can work on those things. Not, you know, not necessarily I can instantly decide to have good boundaries, but I can work on having good boundaries. That is something in my control. And so it's interesting, you know, because of course there are some things in the external world I can do, in a very limited scope, you know, and it's interesting. What happens when we get to that situation when it becomes clear that in this particular situation, there's nothing else I can do? You know, how does that land for us? And it may be even that realization lands as an insult in a way, you know. I think there's some interesting dynamics around race in this situation. At least very stereotypically, when, you know, say a white person who has done no work on their white privilege, you know, things don't go their way, and they're almost offended, like, this shouldn't be happening to me, you know, and there's this kind of offense. And stereotypically, and again, this is something much more true, say, 70 years ago than now, but the message that you can't control anything in this situation might be received from many people of color with a kind of resignation, you know? And it's interesting just to play around with that. What happens with you in a variety of situations in life when you get the message, you can't change anything else. You are no longer in control of this situation, you know? What happens to you? Where do you go, you know? Do you go to offense? Do you go to giving up and resignation? Surrender is a very different energy. In surrender, you might also, surrender is very close to letting go. Surrender is a powerful energy. How to say it? Resignation and giving up are both further ways that we give away our power. It's a kind of victim status, you know, kind of, you know, internal playing possum sort of thing, you know. And there's tremendous attachment. There's tremendous attachment to what should have been and that sort of thing. And so it's very much a powerless state. Resignation or giving up, whereas surrender is actually, it's a place of tremendous agency, because surrender is something that we do very consciously. We do it from a place of power. We let go from a place of power. And paradoxically, true surrender actually opens up a lot of energy. And it's all the energy that I was spending holding onto the things that I'm actually not able to control at all. If you see what I mean, you know, all that wasted energy actually becomes available when we're able to surrender. the Arabic word for surrender is, a lot of people don't know this, the Arabic word for surrender is simply Islam. The name of the religion itself means surrender. And properly speaking, a Muslim is one who knows how to surrender, one who surrenders to Allah. And this is actually a deep current in Islam, you know, the oft-repeated cry, Allahu Akbar, God is greater than anything else. And so there's an incredible depth to surrender, an incredible depth to this kind of deep letting go. One of the things that surrender does is it allows us to approach equanimity. And equanimity is one of the, what are called the four illimitable minds, the four minds without limit in Buddhism. These four are love, compassion, joy, and equanimity. And equanimity is kind of the odd member of the set, you know. In other words, we all know what love and compassion are. We love receiving those. You know, we all know what joy is. We'd all like to have more of that in our lives. But equanimity, it's an odd one, and it's an underappreciated one. Equanimity is a deep balance. A parody of equanimity would be someone who very much on the surface, you know, say they have shut down all vulnerability and they just have this, you know, nothing affects me kind of thing. This sort of rough exterior. And that in many ways is a parody of the deep state of equanimity. Equanimity is much more about being fully open, being able to feel life in a raw, powerful way, and yet remain completely balanced in that. You know, it's a very, very deep state. Surrender is very powerful because one way to say it is that to be human is to be profoundly vulnerable. You know, and especially as we get older, as we move, you know, as we get older, you know, the second half of life, it is a kind of slowly having to let go of and get rid of and surrender in a bunch of ways. And at a certain point in say people's 80s or 90s, that process really begins to accelerate. And I've certainly have met older people who are just very bitter. The changes happen too fast and they're trying to hold on and they can't hold on to anything. And they're bitter about how fast their life has changed. And I've also met old people who are radiant. And they're radiant because they've been able to occupy that place of surrender, you know. And so there's a tremendous power in surrender. What's hard about surrender is, we like to be in control. And control often has its roots in fear. People who want control are people who are, in one way or another, driven by fear. The fear might not even be conscious, you know, but control and fear are often deeply intertwined. And, you know, part of surrender, part of getting to the place of surrender would be about facing those fears. You know, facing the fundamental fear of not being in control. You know, the Tao Te Ching says that the world is a sacred vessel. It is forever out of control. You know, this whole idea that life itself and the Tao itself is just this flow, and I'm not in the driver's seat. I'm not controlling it, you know. One word related to fear, of course, is the word panic, which comes from the Greek word pan, meaning all, you know, the fear of all, the fear of the flow of life. And part of surrender is simply allowing the flow to be the flow, you know. There's the popular, you know, saying, go with the flow, you know, but really allowing the flow of life to be as it is. So of course, it is always a very tricky thing, and there's no easy formula. It's a very tricky thing to determine what are the things in my life where I have no control? What are the things in life that I do have control over? What are the things in life that I influence? You know, and where does my influence end? And a lot of the, you know, that whole inquiry around that, what do I control? What do I not control? A lot of this is contained in that famous prayer, the Serenity Prayer. The Serenity Prayer was written in the, I think, the late 30s or the early 40s by a theologian, Reinhold Niebuhr. And shortly after he wrote this prayer, the people who founded AA read it and they loved it, and then they incorporated it into AA, and then it became part of those meetings. And then it often has a prominent place in many of the 12-step programs. Reflecting on the Serenity Prayer, I've actually modified this, and some of you have heard this before. It's this modified version of the Serenity Prayer that I actually say every day myself. And so I've kind of expanded it a bit, and I really wanted to incorporate the idea of responsibility, which felt like an important piece in that whole conversation about what do I control and what do I not control. So this is the version of the Serenity Prayer that I say every day. May I take deep responsibility for all the consequences of my actions, both intentional and unintentional. May I take deep responsibility for my emotional states. May I take deep responsibility for everything I control and everything over which I have some kind of influence. May I accept complete surrender toward all those aspects of life which are beyond my control and beyond my influence. May I cultivate tremendous trust and acceptance wherever my control and influence end. May I relax into the deep vulnerability of human life. And between what I control and what I do not, what I influence and what I do not, may I have the wisdom, the courage, and the insight to know the difference. So with that, I'll share the quote sheet. So at the top of the quote sheet, I have the poem by Hafez. I have a couple quotes from the Tao Te Ching here. Taoism has a lot to say on this topic. One quote is, "When the gates of heaven open and shut, are you able to rest in deep acceptance?" You know, when possibilities are opening and closing in life. The line that I quoted a little earlier, "The world is a sacred vessel which must not be tampered with or grabbed after. To tamper with it is to spoil it, and to grasp it is to lose it." And another quote, "The surest test of a man be sane is if he accepts life whole, as it is, without needing by measure or touch to understand the measureless, untouchable source of its images." The poet Longfellow tells us, "For after all, the best thing one can do when it is raining is to let it rain." William Booth said, "The greatness of the man's power is the measure of his surrender." Author Hermann Hesse says, "Some of us think holding on makes us stronger, but sometimes it is letting go." Psychologist Eric Fromm says, "Creativity requires the courage to let go of certainties." The very wise woman Anne Morrow Lindbergh said, "If you surrender completely to the moments as they pass, you live more richly those moments." Elizabeth Elliot says, "One does not surrender a life in an instant. That which is lifelong can only be surrendered in a lifetime." Thich Nhat Hanh says, "When we can give ourselves the chance to let go of all our tensions, the body's natural capacity to heal itself can begin to work." And it's true that that's an extraordinary thing about healing. Healing is an energy all around us. We don't really have to work for healing. We much more just have to relax and allow healing. And that's true both in the physical body as well as in the energetic healing. Gail Sheehy says, "Growth demands a temporary surrender of security." Julia Cameron says, "The creative process is a process of surrender, not control." Eckhart Tolle says, "Always say yes to the present moment. Surrender to what life is. Say yes to life and see how life starts suddenly to start working for you rather than against you." Marianne Williamson says, "Something amazing happens when we surrender and just love. We melt into another world, a realm of power already within us. The world changes when we change. The world softens when we soften. The world loves us when we choose to love the world." Oprah Winfrey says, "Breathe, let go, and remind yourself that this very moment is the only one you know you have for sure." Chuck Palahniuk says, "The best way is not to fight it, just to go. Don't be trying all the time to fix things. When you run, what you run from only stays with you longer. When you fight something, you only make it stronger." Mike White says, "There's a victory in letting go of your expectations." Steve Maraboli says, "You must learn to let go, release the stress. You never were in control anyway." Ricky Williams says, "One thing I've learned about life is that if you really let go, it's a joyride." Eric Mikhail Leventhal says, "We are at our most powerful the moment we no longer need to be powerful." And Deborah Raber says, "Letting go doesn't mean that you don't care about someone anymore. It's just realizing that the only person you really have control over is yourself." And at the bottom, I put the text of the Serenity Prayer that I recited.